Good morning, Peter.
It's
Thanks so much for having me.
A pleasure. It's amazing how much we can learn from comic books over the years. You have found yet another use of material from that source. Tell me about your project.
Peter, we have been working for the past 3 years now on developing resources for use in the classroom, drawing from a comic book medium. And these resources attempt to catalyze conversations around hate and hate speech as it lives in the lives of the youth who we meet in our classrooms.
All right. Paint us a picture in words, if you can, of a cartoon that you might take use as a tool in the classroom to teach students about hate.
I can give you a little bit of background, Peter, on the project itself. It started off as a research project where we were looking really closely at how students were talking about their experience of hate and how they encountered hate in their daily lives. Our intent was to develop original comics that teachers and pre-service teachers could use in the classroom in order to begin to have conversations with their own students around where hate speech lives in their lives and how it is that we might be able to begin to navigate the myriad ways in which hate functions in often clandestine ways in our lives and in the lives of youth. And the intent there is to not as a curative or something like that, but because so often in schools, we don't talk enough about people's experience of hate and their own marginalization, that this needs to be brought to the forefront of our conversation. And so the comics that we developed came out of research that we've done at the university and were translated by Jesse Beyer, who's a graphic artist, who is a doctoral student here. And so we have, I think, 8 or 9 original short comics. And each of them in their own way tries to attend to issues of hate and how hate is manifest, say, online, in the ways that, you know, people are profiled racially, in the ways in which, you know, prevailing representations of particular people are reified in kind of daily speech.
So if I took one object in a picture that I'm looking at here, and that would be a gun. On the one hand, you have the person who's holding it. On the other hand, you have the person at whom the gun is pointed. And I guess through that, you convey the image of hatred or some kind of crisis situation. And you would use that then to teach students about hate.
That's right, yeah. And to evoke some of the nuances around, you know, the experience of hate. So, for example, in a cartoon such as that, we might try to attend to such aspects as, you know, who is it that actually has power within, you know, social discourse to, let's say, name or position other people, you know, and the a weapon here being an analogy to the fact that, you know, in contemporary culture, there are people who have the power to name and other people being subjected to that power. So trying to raise students' awareness for these kind of cultural dynamics as a way to not only make those a content of what we take up in school, but also to begin to try to implicate people in saying, you know, how it is that we kind of reproduce these this kind of structure of, you know, people who are oppressors or have power and those who do not or are oppressed.
I suppose in contemporary society as well, social media contributes to a hate debate and to conversation in that regard, and cartooning or drawings illustrating the use of social media might be appropriate in this discussion as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Peter. And one of the comics in particular deals with a platform that looks, you know, it looks very similar to a social media platform that where, you know, a lot of people are familiar with. And the way in which, you know, how hate is proliferated changes through that particular vehicle. So not only is it more kind of permanent, you have a permanent record, but also, you know, hate being not only more public, but also, you know, paradoxically, people being able to hide within these spaces and, you know, so-called trolls. Being able to kind of, produce hate speech without actually being implicated themselves. So we're kind of in this new terrain of trying to negotiate what does it mean to have public discourse when these particular platforms, allow people to hide behind, you know, hate statements. And also where we have, you know, people ganging up on other people online and this kind of thing. So it's certainly shifted the focus of public discourse.
Has it helped in the classroom? Has it made a difference to students who are studying this?
The comics themselves, Peter, or?
Yes. Well, the whole discussion around how you teach these kinds of things.
Certainly I think that, you know, one thing that's important from our vantage is that we begin to have this conversation. The long-term effects of having these particular conversations is something that still needs to be looked at and assessed because we don't really have a kind of strong, you know, longitudinal vision, especially within, you know, our own research project of how, you know, these things ultimately will impact the perceptions of youth. And whether or not, you know, evoking the conversation is enough to actually catalyze some kind of social transformation, we're keenly aware that people have all kinds of strategies for, you know, resisting these kind of conversations and, buttressing themselves behind, you know, their own ideologies. I can't really speak in absolute terms to the effect, but our hope certainly is that by drawing greater public awareness and awareness of students to, you know, the issues that people face, then that might begin to sensitize us more towards, how people are marginalized within society and people's roles in that kind of othering or marginalization.
Jason, thank you.
Thanks so much, Peter. It's a pleasure.